Take Bibles and the Songs of Solomon. I want to read from chapter 4 a few verses of scripture, and then I'll select a thought and speak to you for a little while. The Songs of Solomon, they follow the book of Ecclesiastes. So that may make it a little easier for you to find. And just before the book of Isaiah. I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. The Songs of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shemir, from the lions' dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living water, and springs from Lebanon. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, and that it will be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject today a thought that's found in this 12th verse. It refers to a garden enclosed. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, a garden enclosed. I want to begin by saying a few things about the book of the Songs of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, it says in the very first verse, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So we understand that Solomon is the writer of this book. And this book is an allegory. It's a spiritual allegory. It's talking about the beloved and his love, the one that he loves. It's a love story, but it is of a spiritual nature. And we noticed in these writings, it says that my beloved, he refers to his beloved as his sister and his spouse. Now, we know that the beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus was baptized and God spoke from heaven? And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus in this book is referred to as the beloved. And he is God's only begotten Son. But there is one that he loves very much. And she is referred as his beloved. He loves her. God loved Jesus. And that's why he calls him his beloved. Because Jesus did all things that the Father gave him to do. And he pleased God in everything. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus has one that is beloved, and that is the church. You know, the Bible said that Jesus loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And so this is a love story between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church that he established while he was here in the world. And he refers to the church in this book as being his sister. And the reason for that is Jesus is the Son of God. And all of us who have been saved by his marvelous grace, we are children of God. And so therefore, we are brothers and sisters to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he refers to the membership of the church as being his sisters. And also, he refers to it as being his spouse. You know, Jesus is, the church is the espoused bride of Christ. The marriage hasn't yet taken place. When Jesus comes again, he will present the church to himself as a spotless church without spot or without wrinkle. You know, our churches in during time, I mean, while we're here in this world, you know, we are still living in a body of flesh. We still have the nature of Adam in our bodies, in our flesh, and therefore we are prone to mistakes. We say things sometimes we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't say, and so on. But the day's coming when the church is going to be glorified, and it's going to be raised from this mortal state that we live in, this corruptible state. We're going to get rid of the nature of Adam, and we're going to rise to meet the Lord Jesus in the air, and we are going to be, spotless. There will be nothing that will offend God, nothing that will cause us to offend each other. It will be perfect when the church is presented to the Lord Jesus as his bride. And we're glad and thankful today that we have the privilege to be a part of the Lord's church. It is a very, very important institution. In fact, there's never been an institution that is as important as the church is. Because the church was left in the world and given the authority to carry the gospel to all nations of the earth. And that's important because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, there are none that God excludes from the gospel address. And everyone is invited to come and to be saved and to become a part of this great organization that we know as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church is the bride of Christ. Therefore, it's referred to as his spouse, you know. We know that Joseph and Mary, they were espoused to each other. They were promised to each other. And so the church has been given in promise to the Lord Jesus Christ. The marriage, as I said, hasn't taken place, but it will take place sometime in the future. Now this garden, the Bible refers to it as a garden enclosed. And I want to talk about this just for a little while this morning. I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers because it is a very awesome responsibility to stand before eternity-bound people and to expound upon the Word of God. It is beyond my ability. You know, the Bible tells us that God hath made us able ministers of the gospel. If it were not for the help of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit, you see, we could not do what I'm attempting to do today, is to stand before you and preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, I thank God who counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, he said. I didn't choose to be a preacher. God made choice of me to be a preacher. Now, that doesn't make me special. That just makes me a servant of the Lord. I'm not a ruler. I'm not in charge of anything. I'm just trying to follow the Lord. And I'm His servant, you know. And I am a bondservant. I'm not only duty-bound to serve God, but I want to serve Him. And I'm serving Him because I love Him. And so I need your prayers today as I stand before you. Now, this garden, you know, it was planned by God. It was planted by God. It is cultivated by God. It is enclosed by God. Out here in the wilderness, you know, the Bible talks about the world as being a wilderness. In the midst of this wilderness that we live in, there is a very, very precious institution that's called a garden. It is enclosed. So even here in Bowling Green, Kentucky today, the Lord has a garden that is enclosed. It is His, and He planted it. You remember John the Baptist, he came out of the wilderness of Judea. The wilderness, he came out of the wilderness, and he was preaching, and his message was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right here in this wilderness, God has planted His garden, and He has enclosed it. We're not a part of the wilderness, friends. We're part of the garden. We've been called out of the world, and we are saved by God's grace, and He has chosen us to be a part of this great institution. John the Baptist in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read about the voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight His paths in the desert. He said, the mountains shall be brought low and the valleys shall be lifted up. I don't know if I can get all of that together, so I'll just turn to it and read a little bit of it. And it says, the rough places will be made plain, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And you know, that's one of the objects of the church, is to reveal the glory of the Lord. And it goes on and it says, and all flesh shall see it altogether, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We notice another place in the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I want to share that with you as well while I'm at this point. The 35th chapter starts out by saying, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. The wilderness is sometimes referred to as the desert. And the desert is sometimes referred to as the wilderness in the Bible. And it says, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the rose. God has a people in this world. They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to Him in repentance and faith and put their complete trust in Jesus. And God forgave them of their sins. They became new creatures in Christ Jesus. All who are saved have become new creatures, new creations. God has, changed their hearts. He said, I'll put a new heart in them, and I will give them a new spirit. We see things differently to what we did before we were saved. We can see those who are saved. I can see the importance of the church and the work of the church. That the desert and the wilderness shall blossom like the rose. Now, here in this wilderness of sin that we live in, as I said, we're not a part of it. We're separate from it. I read in the 17th chapter of the gospel as recorded by John, a passage of scripture that I want to share with you from the Word of God this morning. And this is what it says. The Lord Jesus praying for this church, praying for these people that make up this enclosed garden, if you will. And this is what He says. I pray not. Let me back up a little. He said, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And He said, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, and because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The world hated Jesus. And the world hates us, I tell you, the many, many people in this world today, they hate what we stand for. They don't want to hear the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You can talk about God all you want to, and you can make God anything that you want it to be. Just don't talk about Jesus. But I'm telling you today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way to heaven separate and apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, I pray not for them. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that's in the world. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So we're not a part of the wilderness, friends. We're part of the garden that's been planted, and that has been cultivated, that the Lord Jesus has promised would be His bride one of these days. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 61, there's another passage of Scripture. Jesus, this was prophecy, but Jesus stood up one day in Nazareth in the synagogue of the Jews. And He read this passage of Scripture. And He said, today this Scripture's been fulfilled in your hearing. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now listen, Why did he do this? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This garden, it was planned by God, and it has been planted by God. And we are trees of righteousness. Now, in this garden, if I could maybe stretch your imagination just a little bit today. But in this garden, it's a beautiful garden. The garden of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus. Hey, it's a beautiful garden. It's full of flowers, my friend, that bloom. And it is full of trees that bear fruit. This precious garden God has enclosed here in this wilderness, there's such a variety, If you want a very beautiful garden, I have watched J. Allen Smith or P. Allen Smith or whatever his name is on television, he's an expert, on landscaping and on gardening and all that sort of thing. And he'll put one kind of flowers over here and then another kind of flowers over here, and they'll blend together. He may put some trees over here, and he puts it all together, and it's a beautiful thing. And God has put this garden together. Now, some of you out there, you may be a rose bush. Somebody else may be a petunia, maybe somebody else may be a geranium. There's a great variety in the garden of the Lord. None of us are just like somebody else. We all have our own identity in the world. God has put us together in this garden. He looks down upon it and he sees the beauty of the garden. There is perfect order in the garden. Paul said in the last chapter of, the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. He said, let all things be done decently and in order. God, this garden that he planted, he's chosen, the flowers for the garden. He's chosen the fruit trees for the garden. He's chosen everything that the garden needs to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. We're not any of us the same. Maybe some are just flowers. All they do is just sit there and look beautiful. I want you to just think with me today. The garden of the Lord, it's enclosed. It's separated from the world by an enclosure, if we could say by a wall or by a fence, If we let the world in the garden, it won't be long till the world will take over the garden. If you don't cultivate your vegetable garden, the weeds will take it over. And that's just the way of the garden of the Lord. It's here in the world. The world's on the outside. But if you let the world on the inside, it'll just take over the garden. But listen, this beautiful garden, some of these flowers, sitting on these pews this morning, some of you, I've never heard you say a word in church. You just come and you enjoy the church and you just sit there and you look beautiful. That's your job. There are others, that are fruit-bearing trees. They bear fruit. And may I say this? There are no annuals in this garden. They're all perennials. You know, an annual just blooms one time and it's dead. Oh, listen, these flowers and these trees that God has put in His garden, they're perennials. Oh, they just keep on blooming. And they just keep on bearing fruit. They bring forth fruit unto God. God is the one we want to please. You know, I don't think flowers in a garden, I don't think they sit around and look at each other and say, I'm prettier than you are. You know, I'm worth more than you are. You know, oh no. There's none of that sort of thing in the garden of the Lord. We're all equal. We're all equal. And some do one thing and some do another thing. And the beauty is just as important as the fruit. You know, just as important as the fruit. Yeah, we don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing, you know. And we do that. And I know that. And we're all critical of one another lots of times. But you know why? We don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing. We just need to worry about what we're doing, what I'm doing. If I'm a flower that don't do a thing in the world, in the garden of the Lord, but just be beautiful. Just beautiful to the Lord. I'm not talking about necessarily being beautiful to each other, but I'm talking about being beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. And, you know, fruit bearers, we don't have to worry, you know, that person, he's not bearing any fruit at all. Well, yeah, don't you worry about that person. If he's not bearing fruit, you know what'll happen? The gardener, he'll prune that thing. You know, he'll work on it to where it'll bear some fruit if he wants it to bear fruit. The garden of the Lord, it is very special. It's very special. And you know, I was talking about it, it's an orderly thing. Our worship, now we don't have a form. We don't print, you know, what we're going to do next Sunday. I have no idea what I'll preach on next Sunday. And I'm sure the song leader has no idea what song we're going to sing next Sunday. And we don't know who might testify next Sunday or who might request a prayer next Sunday. We don't have to worry about that. We come together to worship God. And we want to be pleasing. I want to be pleasing to my Lord. And that's what we everyone ought to have on our mind today. I want to be pleasing to my Lord. I want to be what He wants me to be. But you know, we have an order of service. Because the Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. You know, we don't pray and preach and sing and testify all at the same time. You know, there's kind of an order to what we do. But in the order of the things that we do, we make room for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. We want the Lord to be pleased with what we do. We have order in our church government. We have rules of decorum. We have bylaws that we go by, you know. God's garden is an orderly garden. And the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, or Lord's Supper and baptism. I should have stated them in the correct order. But there's order to them. And it's so simple. Jesus met with the disciples, and it was the Passover. And they got on eating the Passover, and Jesus took bread and He broke it. And He said, this represents my body. Now, I know the King James says, this is my body, but no piece of bread has ever been the Lord's body, nor will it ever be. That bread represents the Lord's body, that was broken for us. And he took that cup and he said, this represents my blood, which is shed for you. See, isn't that simple? What a message. What a message. You know, we tell that old story over and over and over again. What a beautiful story it is. It's worth more than any other story that you could tell, whether it be fiction or truth. The story of Jesus offering himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary is the greatest story that's ever been told. Somehow I think when we get to heaven, we'll still be singing about the old story about Jesus and about his sacrifice and about the blood that he shed for us. In this garden, I'll be done in just a few minutes, but in this garden, I just look around you. There's some real young ones. There's some that just got saved this year that are just children. They're young. Then you look around and there's some that are middle-aged. And then you look again and you see some of us who are old. Folks, there's a place for every one of us in this garden. There's a place for every saved person. Every child of God, there's a place. And you know, the church is the workplace of Christian people, saved people. I started to say a while ago, some of these plants, I'll just call them plants, the planting of the Lord. Some of these plants, they just let off a wonderful fragrance. They just bless your heart. Some of them, just seeing them, their faithfulness for years and years and years. What a fragrance. So uplifting to us. But can you imagine how pleasing they are to God? They've given their lives in the service of the Lord. Some of the fruit, those of you who are fruit-bearing trees, some are just shade trees, you know. Thank God for shade. I went to a wedding last night, late yesterday afternoon, up here at Klebiet, and the temperature was 94 degrees. Had the wedding out in the sun. Now, we like to melt it. Let me tell you what happened. The beautiful cake sitting there. I mean, the venue even wasn't air conditioned on the inside, yeah. And the cake sitting there. And you know how pretty cakes are. You know, they put all the rope around the top of each layer, you know, and put the flowers on it. And I don't know what you call them. But anyway, we were sitting there, and I looked over there, and that was just sliding down the cake. Now, that's how hot it was. Oh, I thank God for shade trees. And some of you may just be a shade tree. Some of us may get tired and weary, and we need to just rest a few minutes under the shade that you provide for us. Some of you, you know, bear delicious fruit, you know. Feed the souls, you know. Did you ever hear somebody pray and really talk to God? And boy, it just feeds your soul. Just feeds your soul. I'm telling you, every plant in this garden is important. Every plant in this garden should have only one desire, and that's to please the gardener. To please the gardener. This enclosure, you know, this enclosure is not there to deprive anybody. It's not there to deprive us. It's so that we can have liberty to worship God and to lift up Jesus and to tell other people about being saved and how to be saved. You see, that enclosure is to keep the world out. I done told you, you know, if you let the wilderness, if you knock down the garden, the wilderness will just take over, you know. But that enclosure is for protection. And we can worship God and we can serve God and bring honor and glory to Him. And when we do, like I read from Isaiah earlier, the world sees it. The world sees it. And in this garden, there's peace. There's peace. Roses are not trying to take over the space where the petunias sit or grow. But there's peace, there's harmony, there's unity. And it all pleases the Lord because He's the one that's done it. Sometimes we talk about, you know, in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. And it talks about different things. But do you know, in the Old Testament, there were some animals that were known as unclean animals and some that were known as clean animals. Peter had a big problem when it come to preaching to somebody that wasn't a Jew. But God let him know, you know, that God is no respecter of persons. God's no respecter of persons. It don't make any difference what color your skin is, what country you was born in, you know, what state you live in, you know. None of that stuff makes any difference. God is no respecter of persons. And you know, in this garden, the lion and the lamb lays down together. The clean and the unclean. You know, they've both been washed in the blood of the lamb. See? They've both been washed in the blood of the lamb. They lay down together. You know, in this beautiful garden, you know, that same chapter talks about men. I can't get it together just exactly like it. Maybe I need to go there. Isaiah, I think it's the last chapter, maybe next to the last chapter. But it talks about men beating their sores into plowshares. You know. And it talks about nothing hurting or destroying in this holy mountain, which is another way of saying in this garden. But in this garden, it's a place where there's peace. Peace. The Bible, Paul, in more than one of his epistles to the church, he says, you all be at peace with one another. And that's important in the garden. I guess I could say a lot more, but I think I'll close. This garden is a place of order. A place of order. So I'm thankful for the garden. Aren't you? Oh, hell. I can look over this congregation and, you know, I can see the planning of the Lord. It's God's will that every saved person be a part of this garden. And there's one way in it, you know. They that gladly received His word were baptized, and there was added unto the church 3,000 souls. Everybody, you know, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to have a time and a place where the Lord saved you. And if you've got that, then you're commanded by the Lord to become a part of the church, be baptized. Now I'm going to open the doors of the church today. Next Sunday we're going to have a baptismal service. We've already have two that have been approved for baptism. And perhaps today there are others who have been saved. You've never joined the church. You've never been baptized. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that today. There may be people with us. You may have been saved for years, and you may be a member of another church of like faith and order. And the Lord has been speaking to you about becoming a part of this church. I want to give you that opportunity. We receive members by experience and baptism. That is, we ask people to tell about being saved, when and where the Lord saved them, the condition of their heart, you know, whether they was under conviction or not, you know, and whether they were troubled. That's what conviction means, troubled. In trouble with God because you're not saved. And the Lord, you went to the Lord and He saved you and forgave you of your sins. And we'll ask you to tell about being saved. And then the church will approve your baptism. If you want to unite by letter, if you have your letter with you, letter of recommendation. All a letter of recommendation is that this person is a member of our church in good standing. There's no charges against him, and there's no reason for us to bring charges against him. And you can, if you have that letter recommending you to the fellowship of Sister Church, you can present it today.